Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one, and at this time I'd like to invite everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our study this evening titled, Some Things You Cannot Do. The other day I heard someone mention to me, he said, you know, Brad, he said, there's nothing that I cannot do. He said, there's nothing that if I put my mind to it that I cannot do. And although many of us have heard that phrase before, and although when somebody says that, we understand in a sense of what they're saying, the fact of the matter is that's not necessarily a true statement. You see, the Bible teaches that there are some things that one cannot do. And tonight we're going to spend just a few moments examining a few things that is found in the Scriptures in regard to some things that no man can do. As we learned from our scripture reading just a few moments ago that Alvin gave to us there from Matthew chapter 6, we learn about one of those things that no one can do. And there in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24, we learn that no one can serve two masters. Let's notice that passage in those words of Jesus again. There Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, Jesus made it very clear that no one can serve multiple masters. You see, the point of the matter is you cannot be a slave to one and be loyal to another. And the point that Jesus was making in the text here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 is you can't serve both God and riches. You can't be a slave and a servant to God and be loyal to riches and put that as your top priority. You can't do it. Jesus says no one can do such. We see this same point illustrated there in Romans chapter 6. Turn over with me, if you will, your Bibles there to Romans chapter 6. And here Paul asked a question. Paul asked, he said, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Again, Paul is emphasizing the fact that, hey, you can't be a slave to both sin and obedience. It's going to be one or the other. You can't serve the flesh and be a slave to sin and likewise, at the same manner, be a slave to obedience leading to righteousness. It's not possible. You can't do it. And we need to be mindful of the fact that no one can be a slave of sin and be totally committed to obedience. So as we have learned, no one can serve multiple masters. But another thing the scriptures teach in regard to that which no one can do is the fact that you cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. You see, there are many today who believe that in the false doctrine of predestination. There are some who believe that they can do whatever they want, commit whatever sin they want, and no matter what, they cannot go to hell, that they're predestined to go to heaven, and no matter what they do, they're going to inherit eternal life. Some believe in that false doctrine. But the scriptures make it very clear that one cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. We learn about this in Romans, the 8th chapter. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Romans chapter 8. And here in Romans chapter 8, notice the words of the apostle beginning in verse number 5. There Paul penned, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity against God. for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You see that? You see, we learn here in verse number 8 that those who sow to the flesh, those who are fleshly minded, they cannot please God. And in return, they're not going to inherit eternal life. You see, we need to be mindful of the fact, brethren, that the pattern of one's life is a reflection of whether he walks after the flesh or after the Spirit. And the former, if one is walking after the Spirit and is fleshly minded, that's going to lead to separation from God. But the latter, if one is walking according to the Spirit, it's going to lead to a union with God and in eternal blissful peace. You see, one cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. This lesson is also learned there in Galatians the 6th chapter. Turn with me, if you will, there to Galatians chapter 6. And here we have the law of reaping and sowing that is set forth. And I want you to notice here in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, the words of the inspired apostle. There Paul said, "Do not be deceived." Anytime you see those words in the scripture, brethren, pay attention. Because he goes on to say, "God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You see that? You see, again, the law of reaping and sowing is set forth here in this text. And we all recognize that if we sow tomato seeds, we're going to reap tomatoes, aren't we? Dale knows that, don't you? Dale understands that if you plant a tomato seed, you're not going to grow a stalk of corn and reap corn. You're going to grow a tomato plant. In return, you're going to reap tomatoes. And the same is with sowing to the flesh. One cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. But rather, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you, as Paul encouraged them here, to sow to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap eternal or everlasting life. Once more, one cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. But another thing no one can do is no one can have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and have fellowship with God. We learn about this there in Ephesians chapter 5. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning there in verse number 8, Paul is reminding those Christians who have turned away from the darkness of the world and have turned to God and are now children of light. He tells them there, beginning in verse 8, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Now watch verse 11. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Why? Paul, well, verse 12 tells us, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Here Paul made it very clear that as children of God, his people are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. For as Paul reminded those children of God here in Ephesians chapter 5, the child of God is to be one who leaves behind the environment of spiritual darkness and is to live as a child of light, just as God is light. John emphasizes this fact even more there in 1 John chapter 1. Go with me, if you will, there to 1 John chapter 1. And notice these words of John beginning there in verse number 5. John writes, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now watch verse 6. He says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." There it is. John made it very clear that no one can walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. And John said that, hey, if you claim that you can have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, you're a liar. You're a liar. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. And we need to be mindful of the fact that no one can have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and have fellowship with God. Another thing that no one can do is no one can be a friend of the world and also be a friend of God. Are you aware of that fact? You see, there are many today who try to be a people who maintain friendship with both the world and God. There are many today who are very worldly. Many Christians today who profess to be Christians who are very worldly. And they do their very best in trying to maintain a relationship with the world and God at the same time. But the scriptures make it very clear that you can't do such. You cannot be both a friend of the world and a friend of God. We learn about this there in James chapter 4 and in verse 4. And there James asks the question. He asks, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" I want you to think about that question for a moment. You see that word enmity there? It denotes to be at war with. And here James asked, he says, "Don't you know? Don't you know that friendship with the world puts you at war with God?" He goes on to say, "Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Let that sink in. You see, I don't know anything more serious than that of being an enemy of God. Do you? That's serious, isn't it? And I can't think of anything that could be any more serious than being an enemy of God. But yet James tells us that if you want to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You see, worldliness is a major problem. Not only was it a problem in the first century, but it's likewise a problem in the 21st century. Worldliness is a major problem in the church today. And worldliness is the major source of apostasy. There are many today who turn their backs on the Lord because they're drawn away from God because of them wanting to be a people who yield to the allurements of this world. Too many people are allured to the things of this world. They're worldly. They want to conform to the world and the ways of the world rather than dedicating themselves to service to God. Unfortunately, those of you that are here this evening, I'd say, are not in that category. You're here. You chose that good part. You chose that part to come out of the world once again and to come in here and to Be with one another, encourage one another. Again, be able to study more from God's word, to have a better understanding of his will. You're to be commended for that and that attitude. But sadly, as you notice, there are many who aren't here. And I venture to say that some of those who aren't here aren't here because they got drawn away by worldly things. Some may be at a ball game this afternoon, unfortunately. Some may be just so tired and just want to have a little R&R and just want to kick back in the lazy boy and watch TV. Some may be on the lake fishing. The list could go on and on, right? But you get my drift. Getting drawled away from what matters most to indulging in the things of the world. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Sad thing. But we need to be mindful of the fact that one cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. You see, as we talked about earlier, worldliness is one of those things that draw people away from God. And one is not going to be able to yield to the allurements of this world and be dedicated to God and his noble cause. You're not going to be able to fulfill both, my friends. And it's because of that that we need to take heed to the warning that John gave there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. There John said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Why, John? Well, notice, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hold on to that instruction. Be mindful of the need not to be a people who love the world or the things in this world. Remember that if you are one who seeks to be a friend of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And remember, as John goes on to say there in verse 17, "And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Hold on to that and be mindful of the fact that you're going to have to choose one or the other. It's going to be the world or God. You can't have both. But one more thing that the Bible instructs in regard to some things that one cannot do is one cannot live wrong and die right in the Lord. Unfortunately, there are many today who believe that as long as they believe in God and they're a good man, that they can that they can do and practice and teach whatever they want, as long as they're teaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that it doesn't matter what else they do, that as long as they believe and are a good person, they're going to die in the Lord and they're going to inherit eternal life. But you know something? The Bible makes it very clear there in Matthew chapter 7 that not everyone who claims identity with the Lord truly belongs to him. I want you to notice this here with me in Matthew chapter 7, beginning there in verse number 21. There Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Verse 22, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Now watch verse 23, because he says, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Think about that for a moment. You see, here it's very clear that there were many who declared to belong to the Lord. There were many who declared to be doing that which they thought was pleasing to the Lord. But what happened? Jesus said, "I don't know you. Depart from me." You see, we need to be mindful of the fact that the deciding factor between those who truly belong to the Lord and those who don't is consistent obedience to the will of the Father. We see that, don't we, here in this text? Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Those are key words. Not he who says, but he who does. And we need to be mindful of the fact that one cannot live wrong and die right in the Lord. This can be emphasized even further there in Romans chapter 2. And there in Romans chapter 2, beginning there in verse number 5. Paul says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Verse 11, "For there is no partiality with God." You see, there is no partiality with God. And those who live wrong, those who, as Paul put it here, who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, what's going to be upon them? Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Those who live wrong, they're not going to die right in the sight of the Lord. But rather, those who live wrong will someday experience tribulation and anguish, eternal punishment. You see, I once heard it said, and I quote, "There will be no surprise people in heaven, but there will be a lot of surprise people in hell," end quote. Think about that. You see, there are not going to be no surprise people in heaven because of the fact that those who someday inherit a home in heaven are going to be those ones who have that hope, that confident expectation of heaven. They're going to be those ones who continually obey the Lord and his will. And it's because of that they're not going to be surprised. But on the flip side of that coin, there's going to be a lot of surprised people in hell. There's going to be a lot of people who think that they've lived right, who think that they're good people, who think that when they die, that someday on the judgment they're going to inherit a home in heaven, who are going to be surprised when they hear those words from the Lord, "Depart from me." That's a sobering thought, isn't it? It's a very sobering thought. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of the fact that you cannot live wrong and die right in the Lord. It's not going to happen. And although there are many today who believe they can, someday, they're going to have a surprise. And let me tell you, brethren, and my friends, there's not a one of us here this night who ever want to hear those words, Depart from me. Come out of the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not a one. Therefore, may we be mindful of the need to be a people who always seek to do the will of our Father in heaven if we truly desire to someday inherit a home in heaven. Once more, there are some things which no one can do. Therefore, let us all beware of some of these things which no man can do. And may we all choose to always abide in the Lord and His will, remembering, as we talked about earlier, he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 17. Maybe there's one here this evening who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. But you too want to have that hope of eternal life with God who cannot lie. You can have that by submitting yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will this very hour. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men this very hour. And you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can put off that old man of sin and be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember the need to continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The need to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus has promised to those who remain, the crown of life to those who remain faithful unto death, as we see in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has already submitted their lives in obedience to the Lord and His will. But maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and to get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour. Well, you still have that opportunity to do so before it is everlasting too late. And if there would be one here this evening who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song Bruce has selected.